Thank you for listening to this podcast from The Wave Ministries. Visit thewavecolumbus.com for more information.
Welcome to The Wave Podcast. I'm Danny Ortiz.
And I'm Ryan Makarski.
And Ryan, we are going to skip the pleasantries today. So I love you. I know that you're doing great. First of all, you're doing great?
I'm doing great. Yep.
And for those in the podcast, we're doing great. We've been enjoying our time. Thank you for listening to the podcast every week and being on a journey with Ryan and I and Mike and I on just growing with the Holy Spirit and growing with the Word of God. And hopefully you enjoyed our last podcast as we were closing out pride and one anothering, and as one anothering leads us to humility because we put our brethren first. But we started something out this morning, and we're going to talk about the new nature, which is humility. We're still in 2 Timothy, but man, Ryan, you and I were having a discussion about the word because we had a great men's meeting this week, right?
Absolutely.
And we were talking about the word and how important the word and how the word is found, and how Mike said a powerful statement, because we were talking about the word and the Holy Spirit is everything. I want those who listen to us, that listen to the podcast, listen to this statement. The word of God and the Holy Spirit is everything. I think Mike made a statement on Saturday about the Maccabees and these other books like Josephus and Enoch. And you can read these other books, but they don't point to Jesus.
Yep.
And we love the scriptures because the scriptures itself points to Jesus. And there's a lot of people deconstructing out there. And you may be listening to this and say, man, I'm deconstructing. I don't mind that word. I know there's a lot of Christians that hate that word. I love that word because what it does is we're being reprogrammed. But before we be reprogrammed, we have to be deprogrammed. And so we can't be reprogrammed unless we deprogram. But sometimes when we are deprogramming ourselves, we go to the we swing to one whole pendulum swing. Do you see that, Ryan? That sometimes when people deconstruct, what I mean by deconstruction is people getting rid of the theology and the doctrines that they were given by men when they were kids that have nothing to do with the Bible. So many people grow up, they start learning some things. They're like, oh, that doesn't look like Jesus. That was that pastor giving us his own opinion and holding us in bondage by a personal revelation or a personal conviction. And he made that his doctrine. And now, you know, and some of them are stuff like women can't wear pants. You know what I mean? And so, you know, or you know, men can't wear shorts. You know what I mean? Like, it was the weirdest stuff driven by men, had nothing to do with Jesus, didn't point to Jesus. But do you see, Ryan, as you see people deconstruct, as you see people like relearning the scriptures, do you see sometimes some people lead them not to even want to read the scriptures anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I've had conversations with a good handful of people that, they're really Bible believing individuals. And then all of a sudden they do start to deconstruct, but they get to a point where they don't want to hear the scripture. They don't want to read the scripture. They've almost swung all the way to, you know, almost like stoicism or something where it's like, yeah, I'm just going to look at like worldly philosophy, and it makes sense to them. And then they don't almost even want to hear about Jesus when Jesus is life and he is the word. We almost want to take in these philosophies that have passed down. I'll use stoicism down from the Greeks, and it's just passed down and it's wisdom teaching. And they're like, well, this is wisdom and it helps me with my life, so I'm just going to go with it. And then they almost like can't hear the scripture. If you bring up the scripture, not even in a convicting way, it convicts them and they don't want to hear it. And that's why we know the scripture's alive. That's why we know the spirit comes out of the text, because it's the only book that can convict you with one word.
Like, come on, man.
And that's how powerful it is. You're never gonna, and I've read enough philosophy and stuff to know, like, that's just a book. You don't have any feeling off it. There's no feeling. There's no author present like the scriptures. But some people, they get like they are hurt so bad by church that they don't even want anything to do with it, even though they're trying to deconstruct and just get back to knowing the Lord. They go a little bit too far.
And is as they get hurt, they literally operating out of pain and trauma, right? Yep. I know people right now that you mentioned the Holy Spirit. It takes them to a traumatic experience because they grew up in a church where everything was getting a prophetic word, trying to hear those. And so not even being taught how to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, have a relationship with Jesus. And so having a relationship with Jesus. And what we don't understand is that the scriptures always point to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is always going to point you to relationship with Jesus, not to just a studying of history. Because you can study the book of Maccabees, the book of Enoch, the book of Josephus, and I would say even the Bible itself, the book of John. If you're studying from just a historical point of view, right? It's just going to be that. You're going to study history. But when you open up the scriptures and you allow the Holy Spirit to breathe the scriptures, the scriptures is pointing to a relationship with Jesus. All of this is pointing to having a relationship with Jesus. If you're reading not to learn about Jesus, because Jesus is from Genesis to Revelation, what happens a lot of times is that we don't want to wait. We're rushing ourselves and we... I'm getting ahead of myself, but we don't want to wait because waiting is a sound to God's ears, and God hears your cries and brings you closer. And so isn't waiting and literally allowing the Holy Spirit to process you, to bring you to a relationship with the personhood of Jesus. It's not about just studying the scriptures and reading it. Is it bringing me to a closer relationship with Jesus? Am I seeing Jesus operate? Am I seeing the way the Father operates? And this is a great scripture, John 5:39.
Before you get to John 5:39, I was thinking about what you were just saying and Psalm 27 came to me. It was one of my favorite scriptures.
Let's read it.
Yeah, Psalm 27, verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord." This is David, right? Writing his penning from his journal. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And that always comes when you're saying that, like, there's an activity in the passivity of waiting. Where, like,
come on, man.
You think you're being passive by waiting, but there's stuff shifting and there's stuff moving. Even if he doesn't say anything, There's something that brings pleasure to the Lord about waiting and taking time. And we talked about this, you and I, years ago when we were doing some of our corporate gatherings. You're like, "Ryan, we're just going to wait for 45 minutes. We're just going to wait." And some people are going to get really uncomfortable because they've never waited for more than two minutes. But we're just going to sit. And even if he doesn't say anything, he's there. We know he's there.
Go to Psalms. You spark something. You're so right, Ryan. You're so right. I mean, ooh, there's activity and a passivity, man. God is working things out, right? Psalms 41-2. Psalms 41-2 to what you're saying.
Yep.
Psalms 40. I think it was David, right? I think David. I want to make sure. Yeah. Is that David?
Yep, it is David. Yep.
So this is David. David's saying this. The author, what does it say there? I mean, Psalms 41-2. What does it say?
So verse 1 of Psalm 40 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry."
Ooh. So I waited patiently, David said, to the Lord. My waiting is a sounding of alarm to God, because he said, "As I waited, he inclined his ear." To your point, Ryan, when I'm waiting, something's happening that I can't make it happen. The Holy Spirit sees the posture of my heart, and he's like, "Oh, hold up. Someone's calling me. What is it? Is Ryan waiting on me?" Ah, feel the Holy Ghost. "Oh, someone's calling me. Is Danny waiting on me? Oh, someone's calling me. Maria is in her room waiting on me. Oh, someone's calling me. Debbie is in the room waiting. Michael is in his room waiting on me." Woo! When you're waiting on God, there is an alarm that happens in heaven. And the word says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear to me, and he heard my cry. And what did he do about it? What does verse 2 say?
Yep. Verse 2 says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps.
Ooh, all you had to do was wait. He took care of the rest. There's a lot of things we're trying to do, and we're trying to take care of stuff. We find ourselves in some curious situations. We find ourselves in some hard situations, and then we get to doing. And what he's saying is, stop getting to do. Just wait on me, and then wait and go. Woo! Go ahead, keep on reading, because we're having fun here. We're having fun this morning.
One of my favorite stories, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat.
Come on, let's go.
They were, and again, I'm just going to pull out this one verse. You know, they were seeking the Lord because they were going to go into battle. And honestly, King Jehoshaphat was a bit nervous. You could tell in the scripture, but it says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of his men. And here's what the Spirit of the Lord spoke through this man to King Jehoshaphat. You will not, and this is verse 17, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Literally, the Holy Spirit spoke through one of the warriors for King Jehoshaphat and said, you don't need to do a thing. Just stand there. I mean, there's something about standing still. There's something about the stillness. And you and I have a passion for the stillness and the rest, because there's movement in there without you moving. Because when you're still, you can't step in front of him. You can't do anything for him. You allow him to work. You allow him to move.
And that's when the Holy Spirit becomes the guide. That's when the Holy Spirit becomes the leading. That's when you, again, because all of it is about him. It's not even about the stuff that we go through. The stuff that we go through should always point to him. The stuff that you're going through right now, there are circumstances upon circumstances that we're always going to have in our lives. But those circumstances should do one thing and one thing only, lead you to search more for him, right? Mm-hmm. Because whether the good or bad, see, the thing with us is that we got so much good happening. And then when the bad comes, we'll go the opposite down. And then it takes us and I'm having a bad day because I don't know what my future is going to be like. When I'm pointing to Jesus, I don't have to worry about my future. My eyes are just on him. I don't have to worry about my past or my future. I can stand in the present, in his presence, and just be captivated. I'm going to say that again. When you make it about Jesus, when you're searching for Jesus, when the Holy Spirit is driving you to Jesus, you don't have to worry about your past or your future. You can be in the present, in his presence. Be in the present, in his presence. Ooh, Jesus, have mercy.
Man. And that's it. We as humans can't, like, we don't love the present moment. We're always planning ahead, or we're always looking behind of what we messed up or how we can fix that and then move forward. And that's, I mean, I think that's all humans. I know us living in America, I know that's definitely us. Like, we're going, we're moving. What's next? What's next? What's next? And we can't take a present moment and just, like, enjoy him. We almost feel like that's wasted time. We feel like there's not enough time in our day. When that, we gotta shift our priorities. We gotta shift our thoughts on that for sure.
Let's go to John 5:39 that we did not know we're gonna read it today, but we're going with the Holy Ghost, and we do it. Listen, we don't know. We get to humility. If we don't get to humility, amen, we'll keep it popping, because this is so good, and it's all about Jesus. And we may take this thing and call it all about Jesus at the end of the day, because again, as you are deprogramming, and I like the word deprogramming more than deconstructing, but that's neither here or there. That's semantics. Deprogramming, you have to be reprogrammed. There's got to be some things to be. So there's a lot of things that was taught to us that have nothing to do with the Bible. And I'm huge on that. I'm like, my family knows that. People that talk to me know that. Like I have a disdain for those things that men pushed on us that have nothing to do with the Bible. You know, the religion that keeps us in bondage to fears and to shame, because that's what it does, right? It keeps you in bondage. Religion keeps you in bondage to shame, to fear. You don't see properly God. But when you start looking at the scriptures, there was a discussion that Jesus was having with these folks that knew the Torah. Mm-hmm. But what does he say there in John 5:39? Ryan?
Yeah. So in John 5:39, he says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me."
You search the Torah to try to find eternal life. This is Jewish people that are Torah seekers. We love the Jewish people. We love Torah seekers. Yep. Jesus is a Jew talking to Jews. And he's telling them, you're searching the scriptures to find eternal life. But they all point to me. You miss it because it's about me.
It's incredible because we have to understand these people that he's talking to, they're very educated in knowing the text. Like, we think we're educated in the text. They're educated in the text. Like, since they were little, they've been reading it. Parents read it to them and they know it well. And he's like, just take your nose out of the book and look in front of your face. I'm right here. And he's trying to be, and you know, he's probably so gentle with it. He's like, I'm here. Just look at me.
He's like, and listen what it says, verse 40. We're going to keep on reading because I got to keep on reading this.
Yeah.
Verse 40, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. He's telling them, I'm the eternal life. Now, we can say this and we can say, because we know Jesus. Yeah. And when we hear that, it sounds great to us. Yeah. But you got to understand how it's sounding to them.
Yeah.
Like, you talking about offending somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. These are folks that, I mean, think about it. This Jesus is telling them that he's eternal life. These are Jewish folks that won't even say the name of God, Elohim, out loud. Like, they reverence to the scriptures and they reverence. So he's like, what are you? Are you attacking our scriptures? What are you? Their minds have to be blown at this moment. Like, how dare you, Jesus?
Yes. And the frustration that's probably in them, they're just like, who are you to be so disrespectful to the Torah? I mean, they had to be, these men, I just pictured, they had to be irate. They had to be irate.
Heck yeah. They were like, who, Jesus, what? What are you talking about, man? We search the scriptures and don't. And Jesus is trying to prove a point. He's trying to let them, look at verse 41. I do not receive honor from men. I love this. But I know, but verse 42, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Jesus is such a, he's just slaying giants right here. I said, Jesus, man, you know you're playing. Verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, verse 44, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Like, he literally told them, the God that you know, it's not the, you have faith in a different God. He's calling them out. Verse 45, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Are you kidding me, Jesus?
He's calling out all the punches, man.
Are you kidding me, Jesus?
He's, well, I've come in my Father's name. He's like, yep, that's my dad. I'm here. And then he's calling out, you know, if you believed in Moses, he wrote about me. These people, oh my God, these guys are probably like, I can't even. I want to be a fly on the wall, man. I want to be a fly on
I
the
would
wall.
love to see what's
Yeah.
happening, right? It's like, Jesus, Jesus, this is your moment. Like, I always say, man, Jesus and Paul has some moments, man, where you look at it and you go, wow, okay, like these people, they know God, and he knows heaven is backing him up. He's God in the flesh. And he's telling them, Moses, everything that you read about Moses, he wrote it about me. Do you understand? The whole book of Deuteronomy is about me. What? He's like, I'm in there. I'm in the scriptures. When Genesis was being written, Genesis saw me. Now, I didn't write this down. I got this from someone. I forgot who it was at the time. So I don't want to take credit for this, but I have this, I have this writing of Jesus in all the scriptures, especially the Old Testament. And so I wrote it down, and I'm going to just say it the way I wrote it, because I think you're going to love it. It says, and I don't know who I got this years ago, and I put it in my Bible, and it's in there. It says in Genesis, Jesus is the seed of a woman. He will one day crush Satan. So then when people ask, when Jesus is saying, the whole scripture testify of me. Everything that you read about me. So when Genesis was being written, I was the seed of the woman. I was the one that was going to crush Satan. In Exodus, I am the Passover lamb. Jesus is the Passover lamb in the book of Exodus. In Leviticus, Jesus is the high priest. Now we know in Hebrews, he says there's no other high priest but him. But in Leviticus, when you read the book of Leviticus and you read about the high priest and you read about the perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins, guess who they're talking about?
Yep.
That's talking about Jesus. In the book of Numbers, he's the king and the healer. Guess who's the one that heals? Jesus is the one that heals. In Deuteronomy, he's the great prophet. When Moses is writing about the great prophet, that is Jesus. In Joshua, he's the captain of the Lords of hosts. Come on. There's no one like it. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Judges, he's the judge who delivered God's people from the law giver, right? He's the one that brings grace on the earth. He's the one. He's the deliverer. He's the mighty judge. That's who Jesus is. In Ruth, he's the seed and the son of David. We know that he comes from David. We know he comes from that seed line. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's the true king and the prophet. There's no better king than King Jesus, right? Remember, in 1 and 2 Samuel, they were saying, we want a king. We want a king. We want a king. And he was telling them, I want you to want me.
Yeah.
But it was pointing, there's going to be a king that's going to come, that's going to satisfy the need that you want for a king. In 1st and 2nd King, he is the glory. In 1st and 2nd Chronicle, glory is coming king and the King of Kings. In Ezra, he's the Lord of our fathers. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the walls. In Esther, he's interceding for his people. In Job, he's the redeemer that is coming. In Psalms, he is the great shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is the wisdom of God. In the Song of Solomon, he's the lover and the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the glorious birth. The government is on his shoulders. In Jeremiah, he's he's familiar with our sorrows. He is joining with our sorrows. In Lamentation, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the son of man. In Daniel, he's the son of man coming in the clouds of heaven. In Hosea, he's that bridegroom. He's that bridegroom. In Joel, he's the hope of he's the hope of his people, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he's judge of all nations and burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the mighty savior. In Jonah, dead 3 days and preached of repentance. Come on, somebody. There's no one else pointed to the, come on, dead 3 days and preaches repentance. That is Yeshua. In Micah, he's the messenger with the beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. In Nahum, he's the avengers of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's the great evangelist crying for revival. And Zephaniah, he's the king over Israel and the restorer of the remnant. And Haggai, he's the cleansing foundation. And Zechariah, he is the pure son. And in Malachi, he's the son of righteousness. When you search the scriptures, Jesus is saying here in John 5, I should be the highlight of all those scriptures. It is all about me, not about nothing else. It's about me because I'm the bridge bearer from you to the Father. He's that bridge bearer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so beautiful, Danny. Whoever you got that from, man, that is just so good. Because I mentioned to you this before the podcast, when Amber and I started a Bible study years ago, 5-6 years ago now, Amber said to me, I want to start this because I want to read from Genesis to Revelation because I truly believe that Jesus is in the entire Bible. And that was before, that was like anyone that we were with or hanging out with, that was like not even in the conversation. Amber got, I feel like, revelation from that. She's like, I want to search the scriptures for Jesus in every book. And years later, when you and I became friends, it was like, wow, that was like a revelation confirmed, because we didn't have anyone really articulating that to us by any means, other than obviously my wife was here in the spirit.
Let's go to John 14 and we'll close with this, because we didn't know we were going to talk about none of this today. We'll hit humility next week. For those who don't miss out on humility, because it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Man.
You got to rename this title, the title for this.
Yeah, I'm going to call it, It's All About Jesus.
Amen.
I want those who are listening, man, that as we are growing, as we are, I feel the Holy Spirit in this, man, just to slow down for a second. We'll go to John 14:5 in a second about Thomas and what he said and Jesus' response to him. But I want to say this, as you deconstruction, as you're going through a deprogramming, these are all great things. I believe it's the Holy Spirit leading you this way. But don't let your flesh get in the way. Because the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us to truth. What happens is our flesh gets offended sometimes with men. And as the Holy Spirit is leading us out into truth, what we can do is we can let offense then now silence truth. I'm gonna say that again. The offended. You know, we just finished having 8-part series on pride. The bedrock of offense, offense stands on one thing and one thing alone. Offense comes from pride.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we have to be humble enough to go and to be forgiving enough to go, you know what? Those men did not know any better. You know what I mean? And some did. I'm not going to say that all. Some did it for their own glory, for their own thing. But it brought you to this moment today. And even though it was some bad theology, some bad doctrine, and some bad stuff that it was taught, I believe this in my heart, that most of those men were just trying to search for the scriptures. And again, a lot of times, and we talked about this, and this is it, man, the Holy Spirit just bringing this conversation full circle. We were talking about one of the famous people that's going through some deconstruction, how he should be trying to do this in silence, you know what I mean? And trying to do this in a place. And that's why waiting on the Lord and having a group of people is important in your life, because what happens a lot of times as we going through a deconstruction program, as we deprogramming, if we're talking and not hearing and not listening, it might lead us that we're going to talk out of pain and hurt. And we might want to hurt people and hurt other people and say, why? It all led you to this moment. And God takes all, it's what Joseph, right? God takes the evil things, right? And he confounds it and uses it for his glory. God, the things that are bad, he turns it around for his good, right? And I think a lot of times we throw the baby out with the bathwater because our flesh is so offended and our pride is so there. And we got to lay that at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I don't want to be prideful. I want to walk in humility. I want to grow in you. I want to wait on you. I want to wait in my silence. I'm going to deconstruct and I'm going to have other people in my life so I can talk these things. But I don't want to lose sight of you, Jesus. I want you to be the main thing that I'm going after.
Yep. Amen. So good, Danny.
You know what I'm saying? Right? Because sometimes I think we get so accustomed to the flesh and we're so mad. That pride will silence what Jesus is trying to do in you, what the Holy Spirit is trying to do with you, which is bring you closer to a closer relationship with Him. Right? And so don't let the attack go for the person. Don't let the attack. Just know that it's a spirit of religion on earth that doesn't want us to have a relationship with Jesus.
And once, you know, and you hit a great point. Once you are able to forgive, you know, those people or that individual, that's when the healing is going to be able to begin. And then you're able to grow closer to the Lord. But if you're holding on to that pain and that unforgiveness, really, that wasn't that person. It was probably the spirit of religion that was on them. In general, they probably didn't mean the way that it came out. And I'm speaking out of personal experience because I'm working through that right now with at least a couple people where it's like, hey, I gotta forgive because it's hindering my growth and it's hindering me getting closer to the Lord. So again, when I'm saying this, guys, listeners, I'm speaking out of personal experience of a couple of years of trying to continue to work through some things. So yeah, that's it, man.
Let's go to John 14:5. It says, Thomas said to him, talking about Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. And also, I love this. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And it's sufficient for us. Let's just see the Father. I'm good with it. Jesus replied, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Praise the Lord. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me, and the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves.
Oof. Man.
Listen, right? If these guys are living with him, mm-hmm. and still missing it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, right? They were living with him. These are his fellow brothers, yep. right? And Jesus was taking them on a journey of revealing himself to them. And they, at this point, would still not see him for who he is. And what I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit, he's taking you from where you're at because he's taking you from faith to faith to glory to glory. Why? So that you can behold the glory, which is who Jesus is. So that you can have a relationship that's greater than what you had last year, than what you had last week. But don't get frustrated with the process. Don't get frustrated. But these are, I'm pointing this out so that you can see Thomas and Philip are living with him and still not getting it fully. Now, remember, both of these guys died a martyr's death for Jesus. I want you to know that. What I mean by that, it was said about Thomas that he was ripped in four pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That he was tied to four horses and ripped for his body was ripped for Jesus. Do you understand? He came to his fullness of his revelation of Jesus. As he's journeying with Jesus here, Jesus is trying to show him, I am from the beginning. I always was. I am in Genesis. I am in Exodus. I am in Deuteronomy. I am in Lamentation. I am in all those words. I am in the book. That's who I am. But they were journeying to get to know Jesus. It's a journey. It's a process. Join the process and join the journey. Don't try to rush. Sometimes it's waiting. Sometimes it's discovery. Sometimes it's just being attuned to the Holy Spirit so that you can what? Get closer to Jesus.
So good, Danny. That's it. And it's unbelievable, this story. Guys that walk with him for 3.5 years, yet they still, it took time it took time and it took progression to actually understand who he truly was and who he truly is, for that matter. So we have to be patient with ourselves. We have to be patient with ourselves.
Don't get, listen, don't get angry at those old pastors and those old preachers. They only knew what they knew. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Don't get prideful. Let that to the waste. Point yourself to one thing. All of it brought me to today, and I'm here, and I'm willing, and I'm able, because I want to learn more about Jesus.
I have a word to end on. If you want, it's a story. It's a quick 1 minute story.
But come on, listen. Go ahead.
So there's a story I heard that's been passed down of a nun. That she knew the scriptures very, very well. And as she got older, her mind started to go, and she started to forget her favorite scriptures. And she even forgot her favorite one. And on her deathbed, she could only utter one word from her favorite scripture. And all she did was utter the word him. She could only remember the word him. And it was so powerful to me when I heard it, when this woman who definitely knew the scripture way better than
me. Come on, Jesus.
At the old age, she lost all of those favorite scriptures that she memorized, but the one word that the Lord helped her mind preserve was the word him. Wow. And I think that brings the essence to what we talked about today. When you forget everything, when you're, it doesn't matter. It's literally about
so age. That's so good. That's so good. It's all about him. Don't worry about nothing else. Nope. Just him.
That's it.
Now, I'm making myself laugh in my head, but man, it's so good. Listen, I know we went on a rant today. We had to go. We had to move with the Holy Spirit. Hopefully, listen, if you remember nothing, remember what Ryan just said. It's all about him. It is all about Jesus, and that's it. In the end of the day, why we do these podcasts, why we stay on studying, it's not to be more scholarly. It's not to have more, you know, brain gymnastics. It's simply one thing. We want to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. We want to know the Father, Elohim, and we want to know the Holy Spirit. That's the journey. That's it.
That's it.
We love you guys. Next week, Ryan and I will hit on humility. We'll jump on it with if the Holy Spirit allows us. I love when the Holy Spirit does things like this, because we just are submitted to him and what he wants. And we say shalom, Maranatha.
Yep.
And we'll talk soon.
Amen.
Hold on 1 second.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from The Wave Ministries. Visit thewavecolumbus.com for more information.